Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Red News Podcast 254, and we're coming to you live and direct from Bucharest. Arrived yesterday. I'm here with Phil, Danny, Riaz, Nick, John, Wazza, and Andy. We've just managed to meet up now. Nick, you arrived late last night, a bit later than us. How was your journey?
Yeah, fine, yeah. Nice and seamless via Frankfurt with Lufthansa. It was like very upmarket. We used to Ryanair, me and Wazza, so Lufthansa's very luxurious.
Yeah.
It was nice to give you a complimentary chocolate. Very cordial.
Is it that gives you a free sandwich? It's that KLM in it.
I think they used to give you like a pizza slice on Lufthansa.
I was like,
oh, I won't buy any food because I thought we were going to get fed on there. So
yeah.
Then we had a lovely bratwurst in Frankfurt Airport with the Frankfurt Ultras.
Did you see
they're on the way to Rome?
Did you see the robots in Frankfurt Airport?
No.
When we were last there, they had little robots delivering beer in the bar. Yeah,
oh,
very high tech.
About that. They did.
Oh, yeah, messed up there. Yeah. All right. It was lovely. Had a very eventful evening last night. Utter chaos in the old town, I can say. Have you ever watched Peep Show?
Yeah.
You know when Supans has his New Year's Eve party and they want to go in and, like, he goes, oh, like, it's too much for Supans and I'm not going in there. It was basically like that last night. It was like, I've seen through the eye of the needle and it was a bit... It was a bit full on last night, considering I've been here before and I've got like really nice, oh, it's a bit like a Paris kind of Berlin kind of vibe coming here. It's just lots of cars.
There's a lot of balloons about, isn't there?
Yeah. This is why you pay for a Bolt and then the only knobhead you've got in the taxis was a.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's so much easier. I could can deal with it.
How's he been? Has he been on good behaviour?
He's been on fantastic behaviour. He's off his tits, isn't he, that lad?
Yeah.
Look, I'm constantly like, think I'm following him around like he's on a documentary because I'm just constantly like videoing him every time he does something. Like, I'm just videoing him eating his breakfast and he makes me laugh in the morning. Like, it's just like, have you seen what he's eating this morning? He's had a boiled mincemeat and egg pancake for his breakfast. And he was like looking at it thinking, what the fuck have I ordered? I'm going to have to make it in the podcast photo because it just looks so grotesque as he was tackling his way through it. He's like, just put it to one side. I think it's Peter with that.
Nick and Wazza just turned up like 5 minutes ago. Their entrance was quite spectacular as well.
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah.
Quite an entrance that. You scooted that with James Bond.
It glided like 90 seconds through the old town going on the scooter. Wasn't quite as dramatic as when we
went in this sweep round the corner.
Behind the scenes, you know, wasn't as glamorous.
Serenely glided round the corner on a pair of matching green scooters. Very, very impressive.
I like a bit of scooting.
Yeah.
After just round the corner and just took their elbow pads and knee pads. They were on with them.
Pros. That was great. We've been on them for about 15 minutes.
Have you?
We've been miles away, yeah. Doing a nice little bit of scooting through the town.
How much was it?
It was nine rom, whatever
wow.
It is. Which I think on my
£1.50.
So not bad that, is it really?
No, it's an absolute bargain. Cheaper than an Uber, isn't it?
How have you, other than buffoons from Manchester United aside, how have you found
normal?
Really nice.
Yeah.
But
I don't think I've ever seen so many people in one proximity in a city centre be on so many drugs before.
Yeah,
that was wide opening last night. I mean, like, the amount of people that couldn't talk or they were just like eyes just like well wide open. It was everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely everybody last night. It's just honestly it was super Hansa's New Year's Eve party. That's what it was. It was wild.
So back to the subject why we're all here. Football match tonight. Are we all confident, Philip?
I'm confident tonight. I think we'll put a good performance in. Although the football is still terrible, watching it, I think things are on the up. We've lost one game in six, which is a positive, and won three out the last four.
And you look at the away games in the last 2 months, we've done all right. So away game, I think we.
I do think we're.
I agree with Phil. I'm a bit. more confident than what I have been in the last couple of months. I think we'll at least get a draw out of it. We'll definitely finish in that top section. We won't have to qualify. That's my feeling.
I don't think it's guaranteed.
No, it's not guaranteed with a draw. It depends on the others. But you never know. We might get a win. But I've got a feeling we won't be in the qualifying round. I've just got this feeling about it.
They're bad. I mean, I was looking at their results and
we'll discuss that where they are in the league.
They're a bad side.
But I mean, I know. Have you seen where we are in the league?
Yeah, but at least we're in the Premier League. They're in a Romanian league. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. We've not won at home since like the start of December. So it's like.
So they're due one then?
Well, right. Cheers, Riyad. Yeah. I'm just trying to put a bit of positivity.
Although I was trying to be positive with the, you know, we've only lost one in the past six, I think. Defensively, we have got better defensively over the past couple of games, but it seems goals have dried up. Yeah. You know, I really, I don't know what, besides, you know.
But we could have predicted that.
Ahmad, other than Ahmad scoring, where's our goals coming from?
You know,
Martinez, yeah, you know, where's the goals coming from? Because the two centre forwards we've got are just not performing. You can't seem to hold the ball up, you can't put chances away.
No.
We
were talking to
level in the Premier League, though. Maybe
we were talking to a Stour fan last night, and he was like, he found like that. The possibility that they might be a match for us, like, inconceivable. But we were trying to like impress on him, like, no, they, you know, we are like not a very good side at all, you know. But I think the name of Manchester United still carries that cachet, where it's a big game wherever we go, and they're expecting a really tough. I think it'd be a really hard game tonight, like full stadium. I just think they've got every chance of just like they could, you know, because they're all going to be massively up for it, aren't they?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, we've only just seen that this morning. We went past the team hotel and the people hanging around the team hotel, none were United fans. All Romanian. So United are in town, and you can tell it's a big thing for them. But just going back to what Phil said, defensively, you've obviously forgotten the Brighton game a couple of weeks ago, where we were dreadful. So fingers crossed that's turned,
that
and we'll
the keeper again.
We'll play a little bit better. I'm confident.
You say we're dreadful in Brighton, but the keeper gives two goals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 that's the problem. There is that.
Nothing
yeah.
to do with the back four. The keeper's just been a clown.
Yeah. I mean, the two games that we've won, though, Fulham, I mean, they're poor going forward, aren't they? I mean, they've got no goal threat whatsoever, really. I mean, one of the lads I worked with was a Fulham fan. He was like, we just can't score. I was like, that one over the leg. And then Rangers as well, they were just. I mean, God, that's probably the worst Rangers side I can think of. Certainly, I mean, they're bad as well. So it's like, yeah, we've got better defensively, but we're playing two teams that have just got no attacking depth whatsoever, which suits us perfectly. That's the problem. So if they've got someone that's half decent up front tonight, then yeah, it's going to be a really hard game. I think the way that Hoyland's played in Europe this year, and Eriksen's playing quite all right as well, you know, it's the players that haven't been playing well in the Premier League, it kind of gives you that hope a little bit more, so...
Do you think he might play Eriksen, Casemiro starting?
Maybe not both.
No.
But I can see Eriksen starting at a four. He started again last week against Rangers, I think, didn't he, as well? I think Collier might start again.
Collier could start again, I think so, yeah.
Eriksen and Collier, you know, maybe could be on there. Yeah. Find out much you want to win, don't you, by
I start. Think it'll depend on what Amorim wants out of Bruno tonight. Does he want him that little bit further forward? Or, as we've seen in some games, he's playing him that little bit deeper with a, you know, a midfielder. You know, where does he want to play?
I think he's long term, like going forward though. He's got to play him further forward. I think because you can't play him in the middle of that midfield. He's far too erratic with who he's got around him, just giving the ball away constantly. It's a funny one, Bruno, because it's so crucial to us, given that he's one of the relatively few people who can provide those moments of inspiration. But he's so careless in possession, and he has these games where he's just like literally, it's just, the ball's just pinballing.
He was terrible against Rangers, wasn't he? I know he scored the winner, but that was like a real example of what bad Bruno was about. And he's just
Bad Bruno,
yeah. That's what me and Barney call him. We've got bad Bruno tonight. It's bad Bruno, but then he pops up and he does good Bruno, you know, in the
brilliant
last minute.
Bruno.
And then you forget everything else that's preceded, the previous 90 minutes of it, don't you? So he's a paradox, isn't he? Most of them are, aren't they?
So digressing, then, are we going to sign anybody to enable enable Bruno to play slightly forward? Or when does it shut? Does it shut tomorrow?
It's not Monday.
Is it Monday? Monday night.
Are we going to get rid of Rashford then in that few days?
I don't know how. If Barca are the favourites, I don't know how Barca are going to make that happen.
The thing is, though, is that Amorim's obviously half his value in terms of the wages that he obviously commands, because no one's going to sit there and cover his full wages. That was never going to happen. But even so, when you know how desperate you are to get out of the club now, if you're someone like Barcelona, you'd think, well, why don't we offer to pay 50 grand a week and see if United would take it? Because if they want to get rid of him that badly, Amorim clearly doesn't want him in the squad.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we have 50 grand of his wages at least covered, even that's only what 20% or whatever he's on. It's like,
do Barca want Rashford? That's my issue. You know, we hear that they want him, but is that just paper talk?
Well, he's not going to start.
They're scoring the fun,
exactly. You know, he's not keeping Lewandowski out as a number nine.
No, I know, yeah.
You've got
Rafinha as well.
And you've got Lewandowski. It's
like, he doesn't get in front of any of them, does he?
When AC Milan are coming in, it's like they've got Rafael Leão. It's like, he wants to play on the left. In that position, so who's
going to
want him?
You know, on a positive in the transfer dealings, it looks like we won't see Anthony again, at least until August in again, you know. So.
You'll be seeing him again, don't you worry about that.
Yeah, you know, at least we won't see him again until June, which is a positive, I would say.
There have been so many mistakes in the transfer dealing, absolutely. You look at it now, we've got Sancho on our books, although he's loaned to Chelsea. We've got Anthony loaned to, is it Real Betis he went to? We're trying to get rid of Marcus Rashford and subsidise his salary. Casemiro, he's probably going to go. I don't know if we're going to subsidise his salary as well. We're going to end up paying something like £1 million a week for players that either will be at our football club but not playing, or playing for other football clubs. It's just mad. How do we? And the players we have no material value can actually sign. It's mad. No money.
Probably paying David Moyes' contract off as well, I think.
I mean, some of my worries is what's the plans for him. He's not started that much this year. I know he got injured.
I think he needed a rest. I think he needed taken out of it. Given that he played in the Euro. And then played at the start of the season, got injured. Because he was never right, was he, at the start of this season? It's like he looked like he needed a couple of months out of the firing line. It was insane how he was used in a way last season, because he came into the team in January and played every single game.
31 games.
Yeah, you become Ten Hag's saviour, really.
Yeah, massively over reliant on him for just a kid who's just taking his first steps in senior football. You know, he's mad, really.
I just hope Amorim has got a plan for him, though, you know, and does want to play.
Selling him.
The plan is not to sell him, hopefully, you know, but.
I'd be heartbroken if
the plan may be it's Garnacho and Manu going.
But I think the thing is with Garnacho is like he's not Manchester United. The plan for him is always in his head, he's always that Real Madrid next step, isn't it? His idol's Ronaldo, he's going to want to be the same version. But if someone like Manu, like a genuine heartbroken, it's like he's one of the only few players in the squad that I genuinely really, really like. You know, can count them on one hand.
And being there since a kid, you know, he understands the history of Man United, what they're about. You can give that to other players and tell them, you know, it'll be a real, as you said, disappointment if he goes, a real disappointment.
Two glasses.
No, because he made a ball for it.
Mr. Chapman, have you got anything you'd like to add about today's proceedings?
In Amorim we trust.
In Amorim we trust. That's it.
Was
there anything you'd like to contribute? Andy?
Poetic as
no.
Has everyone been impressed? Just not to play contrarian here, but has everyone actually been impressed by Amorim so far? On the pitch.
No one
talks about if they're being impressed with him on the pitch.
I can't really formulate an opinion of him. Given he came into a club in crisis, I've been impressed with him. On, you know, his substitutions, he seems to be a little bit more like Ten Hag looks a little bit preordained at times, you know what I mean? I'm going to do this regardless of what was happening on the pitch. I'm going to sub him at half time. So, but it's just far too early, and you're trying to, you're asking me to judge a man who's come into an absolute crisis situation. So,
yeah, but every time we get a new manager, we say that, don't we? He's come into a crisis situation. He needs a brand new team, and we've had brand new teams.
You get that new manager bounce, quote unquote, you come in, and we've not really seen or benefit from that, have we? And it's like, because sometimes you think that can be what the issue is.
I've been impressed.
I know it's more than that, but sometimes at least expect that, don't you, to win the first few games, and we just.
I have been impressed with his sort of willingness to cause absolute chaos. You know,
with Rashford.
Yeah. And I.
It takes a lot of bottle for him to do that. To come in as a young manager, he's 30, well, he's 40 now, isn't he?
But I also.
Has he taken it too far with Rashford?
No, I don't think he has. I don't think he has.
Do you think it's comparable to Eric's treatment of Ronaldo, though, at the start? Because we were praising Eric, weren't we, for how we were dealt with Ronaldo.
You know, that's a great point. That game against Liverpool where he dropped. Ronaldo dropped.
And he
Maguire
subbed him off in that friendly, didn't he, against Vallecano, and he threw his ties at him.
That's the new manager tactic. I'm the boss. I'm going to do something, but
come on, I 100% agree with how we're saying how he's treated Rashford, but Rashford's been taking the piss for 3 or 4 years, and he's not saying Amorim's not doing anything that none of us have all said needed to be done in the last 3 or 4 years, because Rashford's been fucking terrible. And the fact that finally you've got management and the owners, by the looks of it, on the same page of how he should be dealt with and how he needs to be eased out. I'd rather him be doing that than just, you know, taking to the microphone and sort of backing him 100% and saying, yeah, well, you know, but Mark, it's just a nonsense. I'm really pleased that he's finally being held to account for what we can all see is the case.
I was listening to Chris Sutton, and Chris Sutton made a really good point the other day. He said, Amorim's not asking for him to do anything out the normal. He said he's asking him to train well, live a good life outside of United, and if you do them things, you'll be in my side. If you don't train well, if you come with the wrong attitude, it's assault. You won't be in my team. He's not asking anything extraordinary, is he? He's not saying I want 110% for you. He's just saying you need to give him
that chance. I mean,
yes,
only a week or two in when he binned him.
But Danny, he has had that chance because that game of pills in a way.
Well, that's second chance, though.
All right. But why does he need another second chance? He's had how many chances? We watched him mope around the whole, every time he's interviewed, it's all woe is me. They post on social media, it's everyone in the world's against him, it's everyone else's fault. The scrutiny is under, the pressure is under. It's like, fucking hell, Marcus. Take a bit.
Training with the first team, and will he be?
Yes.
Is he come today? Would he be travelling?
He's training.
He's not in the squad, I don't think.
He's not in the squad.
No, but would he travel?
No, he's not
travelling.
He was training.
But he is training with the first team.
Yeah, I think that's what. He's definitely not travelled.
And so some of the big problems with the team at the moment, he's come with a particular style, hasn't he? He wants to play 3-4-3 centre backs with two wing backs. And typically, your wing backs are attacking players, they're attacking wing backs, and we've not got that. What we've got is two full backs playing as wing backs, and then we say the chances are drying up. Well, that's what you would expect, because you're expecting them to be bombing forward and putting balls in and creating. And we've got two players that are defensive.
We've not scored goals.
So he wants to play this system, and I think he should stick with it, but we're going to have to swap them two out.
You can't
for a different time.
We've not scored goals for 3 years. 3 years. Yeah. I think if they're scoring, God knows, 50 goals, 52 goals or something for the last three seasons.
But when two players, we've got a totally defensively minded. They're not about going forward. You know, and Dalot, he gives 100%, doesn't he? You know, and against Liverpool, he bombed forward. And he had the better of Trent.
Yeah.
He bombed forward. But that's one in five games. He seems to get a bit of a license to get forward, or he fancies it. He doesn't do it every game.
It's that thing, though, Phil, right? You can play whatever system you want. It's goals that change games. And we haven't got a goal scorer. And we knew in the summer we needed to buy a goal scorer. And the only one that I could see, we weren't going to get Harry Kane. I just thought, Ivan Toney.
But my bit is, it makes it even worse when your two wing-backs are totally defensively minded, because then you really have to push on. They have to be attacking-minded. And how is it not?
the fullbacks playing.
My view on that is he's got a, and Paul said a moment ago, he's willing to adapt in games with substitutions, whereas Eric wasn't. But I think you've got to look at changing the system if it's not working for you with the players you have. You can't just be stubborn and say, I'm going to play, you know, three at the back, two wing back, if you haven't got the players to do it.
No, but that's it. So what does he do then? Go and play a completely different system that he never normally plays? What do we go back to? 4-3-3?
He doesn't normally play it, but the players play it.
But so we go back to 4-3-3?
It didn't work for
him. No, I'm not... 4-3-3 didn't work for us for Ten Hag.
You're not necessarily set, do you? It depends who you're playing, where you're playing, home and where you, who your opposition is. You know, we're not in a position where we can dictate, you know, we'll play how we play and let the opposition worry about us. We're not on that level yet. So we have to adapt to depending on who we're playing. I don't know. Fergie did that over time. He'd go away in Europe and he'd change how we played to suit the result he wanted or to suit who we were playing.
I said, but the minute he took over Amarin, I didn't see it working. But that's knowing what the limitations of what the players he had available. And it is a valid point, because for me, will he last the season? And I think it's still a question mark at this point, because there's every chance of these players going on another downward spiral and us going, you know, 10 games without a win. And I know we've, like, tongue-in-cheek made the point results have improved, but performances haven't. We were absolutely dismal against Fulham and against Rangers.
And Southampton, and
got out of jail. But I don't know. For me, it's like it's all very precariously balanced at the minute, and I genuinely don't know if he'll last the season.
Yeah, has he got the full backing?
I think he has
the full backing at least to the end.
You can't come out and say what you said about Rashford though. If you've not got, he's sat there thinking, I can do what I want here. I'm going to do it my way. He talks like someone that is the man that's got the full backing, and it's clear that the owners wanted him all along, and that's why they were so quick to get rid of Ten Hag.
And I think that's why he'll stick with his system. No, he's thought, well, we get somewhere, you know, we'll make a few changes. Hopefully we'll bring some players in. You know, we're already hearing that it looks like we're signing a young left-sided defender stroke wing back. You know, whether that'll come off or not, I don't know. In this window, even.
Do you honestly think we'll sign anyone?
He's got some
German
guests. He's got his medical today.
I think that'll be it, and it will depend on whether.
Just on that signing, does anyone know his name?
Patrick Dorgu.
I can remember the days when United buy players like Wayne Rooney, or we'll buy Robin Van Persie. Where are those days gone?
All right, Grandad.
Where are those days gone?
All right.
Patrick Dorgu.
That's when you're interested in football.
I've always wanted him.
I'm going to wrap it up now, lads. Thanks for that. Prediction tonight. Yeah.
Need to finish on that at least.
Alright. Tonight, 1-1.
Oh, wow, okay. Go on, Riaz.
Yeah, I'm going draw as well. I'll do 2-2.
I'm with Riaz, I'll go 2-2.
I'm forever the optimist. I'm
going
to
beat, I think,
2-0
tonight.
2-1. 2-1 to us.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Rasmus Islands, as he's.
Can we ask John what he's going to do?
Wonderful European campaign. No. any hates of the week?
Yes.
Yeah, I've got. Go on, Dan.
I can't remember what it was. Possible. I'm not allowed to talk about it. Oh yeah, there was one. The offside at
Fulham.
I can't remember where we were then. They said Arsenal. Fulham. Yeah, that offside was an absolute farce. When you're offside margin, I just think the whole point of the offside rule being introduced all them years ago is to not give an advantage to the attacking team.
I'm not talking about referees.
Oh, can I have another debate?
Come on.
Car headlights.
Too bright.
Sensible.
Yeah. That's because you're getting old.
Honestly, the amount of times I'm now sitting waiting for my daughter to come out of football training, netball, whatever it is, you're sat in car parks and wankers leaving the lights on with the new LED lights to the point where they're just muppets, man. You can turn them off. They're automatic lights. Turn them off.
Question is, though, Danny, is are they flashing them at you or are they just permanently?
I sat in a car park the other day, put my full beam on just because of the position we were sat with her new LED lights on. But I'll teach you a lesson.
Right. Wonderful. Phil,
Not me.
No, like me neither.
I've got one.
Come on then.
Hate of our times, actually, because I cannot watch a football match, particularly on the telly, even live, without hearing the P word being mentioned. Multiple, that's my edit. P.
What's that?
Press. Every single game.
Press.
Attacking press. That's my edit.
Right,
there's another hate. No. A genuine one. With what happened last night with City going through where they did, there's a possibility they could now go on to win it.
And end up winning
the Champions League, losing more games than what they've won, being champions of Europe and having that form that City have had in Europe in the last this year. I think the new system in that regard is an absolute farce.
Are we going to win?
The way it's set up.
Right. Okay.
That's me.
The other pet hair is still on the ticketing drive. The £66.
Oh, no, we can't do this again.
I just want to say one thing about it. What seems to have happened now is it's £66 until they realise they can't sell all the tickets now. And what they've done is then they've dropped them to 50. And when some people, when some people's already paid 66, ridiculous.
Oh, right.
So they've done that this week. Ridiculous.
So it's like dynamic Ticketmaster did, but the wrong way round.
There's no one wants to watch us.
Dynamic.
Never
give
people
that way,
do they? Right. Anyway, thanks for that, lads. We'll reconvene probably tomorrow because it'd be too late to do it tonight.
10 o'clock kickoff.
Fingers crossed we get a result. We'll check in tomorrow. Cheers.
Hello, everyone. It's Nathan again, and I'm now speaking literally from the banks of the River Nile. I'm literally sat on the edge of a wall with my legs dangling over the river. There's some temples on the other side. It's past midnight now, 2 hours ahead, but I can see some temples, the Luxor Temple. There's a ferry coming across past me. It's beautiful. Death on the Nile, that was a book, wasn't it? I've not read it. It's meant to be alright. I came here yesterday. Cairo's good, but it's a lot. It's too much. It's too busy. It's just chaos. And I'm glad to be here because it's a bit more chilled. Had a nice day. Rented a bike, went to the Valley of the Kings, blah blah blah, went to some temples, really nice. And then I've just watched United win, which was lovely. There was a few people in the group towards the end of the first half saying that they thought the game was boring, and I don't know, I didn't find it wasn't the most thrilling of games, but I didn't find it boring. I think we were comfortable. We were comfortable all the game. I don't think they really had a real chance at all, did they? We had a few chances. We had no real clear-cut chances, but maybe like half chances or like, I don't know, quarter chances as it were. I don't know if that's a thing, but it felt like we had all the play. So it was just a case of when, not if, maybe. Although the way that we play it is always if, isn't it? But one thing I would say is, like, a few weeks ago I was quite sceptical about Martinez and thinking whether he'd fit into this way of playing, and he looked a bit dodgy. But in the last couple of games, I like the way that he's, like, he seems to be the one that's marauding forward. You know, he's obviously scored a couple of goals in the last few weeks. Obviously, the one the other day was a big deflection, but at least he still took that chance. He attempted it in the first place. But even in the first half, there was a few times where it was him that was making them passes forward for whoever was on the left-hand side to then cross it in. And I like that. I think that that's good. I think he does it well. He can play a good pass. So I'm all for that. But then obviously, the half-time, we made the changes, brought Ahmad on, we brought Garnacho on. I generally think there was a combination of us upping our quality in terms of players on the pitch. I think I must say that Collier looked a bit shaky tonight, which, you know, is to be expected. You know, it's like, I thought he was good in the last few games, but he's so young, and this is what, his ninth game, I think, ever in top flight football. So you've got to expect that. It's fine. But yeah, we brought them people on, we upped our pressure, and I think there was a combination of that and maybe the news was getting through to them that they needed to score because of the way that the league was working, and it just played into our favour. And yeah, I think Maynou was brilliant. There was definitely that one chance in the first half that he should have taken. You know, he should have scored that and he blasted it over. But I thought he was superb the rest of the game. I thought he was brilliant and he took his goal well. Delop did well for his goal. And I think, yeah, did we finish third? Brilliant. I think we're the only unbeaten team in the league. So, brilliant. I'm happy with that. I think we've done the job. I know there's a lot of our lot are out there. I don't know how many saw the whole 90 minutes. I don't know how many saw it past the first half, to be honest, but I thought it was a good game. That's it, I think. Nothing else to say that I can think of. Right, I'm going to go. A couple more days in Luxor, and then I'm off to Hurghada. So we'll play on Sunday, I believe. So I'll watch that one in Hurghada, so I'll do another little travel log from there. So goodbye from the banks of the River Nile, and glory, glory, Man United, and to the regiment. I hope you're all well. Goodbye.
We're back again, 36 hours after we were last speaking. It's now the day after the game. We've just arrived at Milan Bergamo Airport. We're sat awaiting something sweet. We're all starving.
Very hungry.
Yesterday's game, obviously, quite a pleasing result. United got through. 2-0 win, no dramas. Finished third in the group, which was better than expected after the start we had.
Yep. Amazing.
Riaz, your thoughts on the game last night?
I was really happy with the result. I didn't think we'd win it. Happy with the result. I thought they were really poor. I know they hit the bar, and I think the lad was offside when he had the header, and that went woefully wide. But just very relieved we won it. Relieved we don't have a playoff. Just happy with it.
Yeah, very good. Danny, thoughts last night?
Game of two halves. First half, in fact, I watched the highlights this morning, and the only highlight from the first half was them when they had that free kick and should have scored. They didn't show anything else. The first half, I mean, even commented to John at the end of the first half, the quietest Euro away end I've ever seen in 35, nearly 40 years going watching Euro away with United, because nobody was watching the game towards the end. Second half, totally different. And why was it totally different? Because of the substitutions he made. It was an absolute different half, the second half. Give us something to cheer about. Away end got up again. Played well. Happy with the result.
I didn't clock that.
I clocked it. I spoke to John. Towards the end of the second half, first half, sorry, it was very, very quiet. We had then, you know, first 10 minutes, 15 minutes, everyone's into it, and then everyone was bored. Seriously.
All right.
But, We got away with it, we threw, and it was the substitutions, and that's what you get when you play attacking football, when you play Maynou in a bit further forward.
John, just like John, he's always very optimistic about United. It was a pointless game. We could have lost and still qualified in the top eight, and that's cheery John once again for you. However, playing Maynou in that number 10 role was inspired, and I pointed it out to Danny, who didn't spot it, and then Amarin confirmed I was correct after the game. So fantastic, pleased with it. Bobby, what do you think?
I thought it was good. One thing I feel we've done recently is we concede goals and our heads go down. Okay, so maybe the first half was boring, but he he played defensively. We kept it tight. We changed it at half time. We go out and score goals and we do the job. So some part of me thinks actually there was at least there was a plan there. And it worked. So happy days. We've won the game. No dramas like you said, Paul. All good.
Brilliant. Yeah. Looking ahead to the next round, we've now got four potential opponents.
Who the four?
Galatasaray, Midgetland, Sociedad and AZ Alkmaar. If you had a choice, which one would you be choosing?
Oh, I always love Sociedad. San Sebastian, been loads, always go back there. Never have better. However, if we don't get them, then Midgetland all day long. Another trip to Denmark, buy some expensive gin tonics.
I think I would agree. I would say those two in that order. I wouldn't mind going to Istanbul again, but it's been two recent trips, haven't there? I'd far prefer another trip to San Sebastian, I think.
Somebody said this morning, and I haven't had time to check it out, I'll tell you. We obviously could end up going to Bilbao in the next flying to Bilbao, going to San Sebastian, whatever, next round, and then end up there in the final. But someone said we could also end up going there in the semi.
Yeah, they're still in it. They finished second.
So could we end up going there?
Three times?
Three flights.
Potentially.
Wow.
We've got one booked.
Yeah, we need to book the others. But that's... So who would I prefer? Anyone but Galatasaray, really, I think. I don't fancy going to Bilbao three times on the bounce. So... Midgetland.
He has no intention of going back to
Istanbul. It is Spain, and then Denmark, and then Galatasaray, I think.
Holland, no one's mentioned Days of
Ramblin'. Yeah, I don't fancy it.
No one's a bit moody there.
Oh, yeah, they're off there.
Holland's quite moody.
Bobby? No, AZ Alkmaar for me. Done Sociedad, done Galatasaray. Not too fussed about Midgetland. Low allocation will kill me anyway. So AZ Alkmaar would be the
allocation.
How big's their ground?
I don't know AZ's that big, in fairness.
But
Midgetland's a quite small one, isn't it? And they weren't they the ones that robbed everybody last time round? Isn't it like £100 a ticket? Didn't they up it? Didn't they up it?
Yeah, but that's stopped now. It's banned, isn't it? I know.
Still, wankers.
Yeah. Wankers.
On that note, anything else to add, Jazz?
The trip itself. I mean, I know we touched on it yesterday, but we'd only just got it, really, hadn't we? But I thought it was a brilliant trip. I thought the way the police organised last night, getting us out of there in buses and that, just the whole place. Everyone was friendly. There was no minder. I just thought it was a good trip. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, really nice. It was good.
Will we go back to Bucharest?
Definitely.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Yeah. I think it's a bit... I think it's a bit... You know, when you walk up to that Ceaușescu presidential palace and you learn it's built in the 80s and 90s, you feel like everything's a bit of a fraud. So...
How do you mean?
Well, you know, it looks like something from 100, 200 years ago and it's just a lump of concrete built in the 80s with... whilst they played Rio on tune.
On what?
Duran Duran.
That's so random.
that's
time to end this when he's coming out with
that's
shit.
That's what
like
they
that.
Were listening to in the 80s.
Like mid 80s,
that's
yeah.
That's how you visualise it.
Yeah, they were playing Duran Duran, Rio, listening while pouring basic concrete to build a fancy structure for Ceaușescu who got shot on Christmas Day.
That's an incredible. We're listening to Guns N' Roses now.
No.
Duran Duran. What were they listening to when communism fell?
Well, I don't know. Maybe a bit of propaganda, Jewel.
Right, okay. Not Chappelle, Spandau Ballet.
No. They were big.
Men at work.
Read your history. Read your history of Bucharest. Duran Duran were very big there.
Okay, all right. Well, on that bombshell.
nothing more to say on that.
I'm just flabbergasted. I never knew that John was such history buff, but there we have it. Right, thanks for listening. To the regiment, glory, glory, Man United, etc, etc. Cheerio, bye-bye.
Right, so little extension on. I finally met up with Shane. Did meet up with him before the game yesterday. Went to the match with him. We're hoping that the background music of Metallica and AC/DC is hopefully not too loud. We've had the entire Man United soundtrack that's gone through its full repertoire, but if I hear Glory Glory Man United one more time or Country Roads, I think I'm going to scream. It's been literally been non-stop in every single bar that we've been in. You heard from me yesterday. I'll put Shane on because he wants to talk football. I think we probably need to talk about football first, don't we, really? Do you want to let you know your thoughts of the match yesterday? Mark's here, Mickey's here. Bobby, we've got Wazza as well. What were your thoughts on the football yesterday and the general day?
Well, I thought the day was great. Like, as you've just said, the locals have really put an effort on. It's obviously a big game for them, but they've obviously they want to make a few quid out of it, but every bar had United flags up, staff in United t-shirts, music blaring out. As you said, they're still playing it, been playing it in this bar the day after. We're all a bit sick of it, but yeah, it's been a great trip, and as a city I think it's perfect for a Euro away. Really friendly, great bars, excellent. But the football, you know, kind of, it was just so boring again the first half. It's like a, and I know like Barney will probably edit this bit out or be frustrated, but I was so bored in the game yesterday. I was just staring at the pitch thinking, like, it just doesn't take away, you know, you're thinking about other stuff than the football, and the football should be the dominant thing. But I was thinking, like, United, if us and United is a relationship, you know, a few years back it was all exciting, we got doled up, you know, we had rampant sex, it was like non-stop every night, you know, every fantasy coming true. And now I feel like I'm just like, we're in pyjamas and nylon nighties, and like, we just, it's all gone stale and boring. And then, like, towards the end of the game, you think you better make a bit of an effort. So you have like 3 minutes of missionary, and then that's it. Like, you know, that's what United are like at the moment. You know, they think, oh, we better fucking rally and score a couple of goals. But it was, I thought the second half was much better, and I enjoyed it. But the factor for me is the fella that gets me off the seat is Garnacho, and it's like, it's a bit depressing to think there's a reasonable chance that he might be off. And I'm like, I know the rules of financial stuff and that, but that would be a real bitter blow that if we lose the one player at the moment who comes on the pitch and looks like he's going to create something. I know Ahmed too, but he's the one player, as soon as he comes on, he's looking positively, going forward, and it just would be a crying shame if we lose him. So I thought second half was good, first half was completely bereft going forward. And that should be a warning sign that, as we stand at the moment, I know there's a longer term game here, but selling Garnacho would be a disaster, in my opinion. But yeah, I thought it was good. Ground was good. I thought the police and stewards were really decent. The most laid back stewarding I've ever seen. Like, a bloke in front of us was chain smoking, and I thought, is the steward not going to say something? And then I looked up, the steward sparking up himself. And in fact, the steward gave a United lad a fag at one point, you know. So it was great, yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, to be fair, you never know how it's going to be, do you, when you come away and you've seen the riot police. They look like they were ready for it, but it was pretty fine. Shout out to the buses as well. I thought getting back was brilliant. No, we got kept in for half an hour, but they were well organised. I think you're right, though, about the football. Garnacho is that player that gets you off the pitch. And credit as well to Maynou last night. I mean, did you see Amarin's comments? And he said he doesn't want to play him that deep anymore because he thinks he struggles defending. And he put him in that 10 role last night, and he looked as dangerous as Garnacho did. And he obviously got a goal for it as well. So you're right, the less said about that first half, the better. I mean, that first half was atrocious. So we've just no got any attacking threat. Barney's already mentioned this morning that we're in for that Matthias Tell from Bayern, and he's not scored a goal yet. You know, he was saying at the start of the season again and again and again, we need a number nine, we need somebody that can score goals. We haven't got it in this team at the moment, and we're trying to sign a player for 50 million that's also not that at the moment, that's 19 again. And it's like, there's not any form of, you know, intent to go out there and get a real goal scorer still. I know there's not many about, but you've got to try and do something. And I think that until you play with a focal point up front, you're going to get these mishmash performances where you're not really going to get a lot from it. So when you see players like Garnacho that are on the bench, it's frustrating. You want to see them come on and run at somebody, don't you? And as soon as he came on last night, they didn't have a clue what to do. They had no idea for it. And you just think, if you play from the start, you know, it could have been 3-4 or 5-0, because they weren't a great team, were they? But anyway, I was last night then, afterwards.
Well, I let myself down a little bit. I should have... Well, my roommate, like, we didn't get back into town till 1 and gone 1. So I ended up out till about 6. But I think there was an unfortunate standing on a chair gyrating at some point to some song. But yeah, less said the better. The other thing, like Mark just said, that we just watched on the telly, like, one that you know, the football was boring, but a young lad, kid, like ran on a pitch to get a selfie with pitch invader, to get a selfie with Garnacho. And the stewards took him off, and they're so laid back, they just put him back in the crowd, and he was high-fiving. So the final whistle, like, about four or five kids thought, well, we'll have some of this. So there was this farcical thing at the end, about four or five kids running around, giving the stewards a merry dance, which I think a pitch invasion is something to behold. It's, you don't see it very often, as Mark said. But yeah, Mark, you got anything to add? Football trip?
Not really football related. I mean, I thought the first half was one of the dullest 45 minutes of my life, if I'm honest with you. But and then I inevitably left at half time. I suppose the one thing I would add is, as much as the coaches sound good, I went to the ground and back in two Ubers, and the combined cost was £5.95 or something like that. Which I thought was absolutely brilliant. Well, and we also got a very weird cab on the way there. It was an electric cab, but it was like a scale electric car, and I've never known acceleration like it. But it had wind down windows, which we like thought was the weirdest thing in the world. So, like, the most modern car in the world, but with wind down windows, which was an absolute treat of the trip, really.
Well, we've got the bus. We got the official buses out and back in. And the most bizarre thing was, we got on the bus and it got stuck in traffic, and they had two like riot cops on it, or, you know, top to toe in the body armour, batons and all sorts. You know, from previous European trips, you're a bit wary. So, of course, it gets stuck in traffic, and there's fellas on there with a few beers inside them start getting impatient. So some fellas started trying to force the emergency open. But the steward, in fairness, he quite calmly said, "You know, you're not getting off." You know, and so we're all like saying, these fellas are not going to mess about, just don't spoil it for everyone. So next thing, some bloke goes, I'm going to wet myself. And to my utter surprise, we're stuck in traffic jam. Robocops, they open the doors and let him piss on the middle of the street, and then let him back on again. I thought, like, you don't get that anywhere else. Like, letting him basically commit a crime in public and then got him back on the coach. I thought it was incredible. So, yeah, a shout out to the Bucharest police. I thought, yeah, they've done a good job.
There's very blurred lines in Romania between what we've, like, things you think are acceptable that are apparently not, and then things that they allow you to do anyway, which wouldn't be acceptable in any other country in the world. But they have some very strange rules in Romania about what you can and can't do. But
well, part of the reason I was out later than I should have been last night was that some here will know, like, I won't bore you with the reasons, but I sometimes drink shandy because I have to regulate the alcohol intake. And but all this trip, I've got one shandy all trip, but in most of the bars, they just point blank refuse to serve shandy. Even if I say, well, you've got Sprite and you've got beer, and they just say, no, you have a beer or you have a lemonade, we're not doing the shandy. And you've got, like, I've got to have quite a bit of admiration for that. It's like, you know, man up here and just drink your beer or not. That's like, it's our fault, yeah, fair shout.
Sums it up nicely. Like the FCSB is not Stour banner that was obviously unfurled in our end, wasn't it, as well, by us. Bit of a strange story, that. I recommend that if you don't know too much about it, definitely look into it. Basically, Stour have set up another team, and it's not Stour Bucharest and things, and they actually play in the second league in Romania. I think they're second in it at the moment. And someone was saying that even if they win the second league, they can't get promoted to the top league because FCSB are in there as well. So it's a very, very strange story about it that it seems to get more confusing the more people that you spoke to. But we spoke to two Romanians last night that live in London, and they'd flown back for the game, and they were basically just very, very clear that it wasn't Steaua Bucharest, but they were still desperate to come over and see United because they love Man United. They weren't, you know, fans of FCSB or anything like that, but they really wanted to come and see United, which is fair enough. You know, it's not every day United play in Romania, is it? So it was quite nice to have a chat with them last night about it, but they were very explicit, which is funny because obviously, you know, they did a big tifo. If you've not seen the pictures, try and find them, because they did a big tifo before the game of 1986, was it? They won the European Cup, I think it was, and their goalkeeper saved about 5 penalties or something like that, so he's a hero, and they, you know, did that big banner for it. So a bit strange really, because some people still see it as Stour, some people don't, and there's graffiti across the city. You know, I've sent Barney a picture, he might use it as the podcast picture, but a lot of people are very, very clear that it is not Stour Bucharest. So it's quite interesting, but definitely have a look at that one. Anyone got anything else, any hates or anything like that before we wrap up?
I don't know, I'm going to have a new one. Like, my fear of the week is that my wife's, like, I'm staying out for the weekend, and my wife's flying out as we speak. So usually you sort of think, oh, I've sussed out some good bars, we go back there. But I think I'm going to make sure that I avoid every bar that I went in last night in case I were remembered for dancing on a chair, gyrating, in fact.
Are we doing fears and hates of the week? My hate of the week is dogs on public transport. Everywhere I go now, planes, trains, it's always a fucking dog. Oh, when did it become acceptable to take your Alsatian on a plane and not have a seat, sit next to you? Yeah, planes. Every train I get to Manchester, there's always a dog on the train. Just winds me up. It's a rational wind up, but like, just does me in, isn't it? Yeah. They need to stay in the park. Keep the dogs in the park.
You got any loves or hates, Mickey? Good trip?
Nothing particular, no. Just been a great trip again, obviously. The football was all right for the second half. Not that Mark saw it, but there you go.
He was
in the pub to watch it. No, it's been another good trip with good lads and that. And here's to the next one.
Good stuff.
Anything from you? Was there any loves or hates? Any observations from Bucharest?
No, fuck off.
That sums that up. Yeah. I have no hates of the week because this has been a great trip. My absolute love of life will always be the image of Shane gyrating to I Was Made For Loving You by Kiss to some Romanian ultras last night, or this morning, should I say. I'll take that image with me to the grave. It was absolutely sensational. It's just summed up a very, 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 very good trip, to be honest. So I don't think the music's been that bad in here since we've done this, has it? So, but I think I'll probably leave you with that one, otherwise this is going to be a bit long. But yeah, thanks very much for that. And glory, glory, Man United. Here's to Bilbao, because it's incoming.